Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, featuring Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith while building a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
Hi, it's Anne-Marie and welcome back to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. Now, in today's show, I wanted to replay the session that I took, which was part of the Be the Difference Summit, which I ran recently. Now, you may have attended, so you know what this summit was, but I was one of 12 speakers. We had this summit specifically for kingdom-focused entrepreneurs and truth seekers and what I call rebels with a cause. We're rebels with a cause, aren't we? Standing against what's happening in the world for Jesus to bring glory to our Father. And the topic of the Be the Difference Summit was how to champion real change in a culture of compromise with renewed, unbreakable, unshakable faith and courage. I don't know about you, but I tell you what, when you hear and see what's going on in the world, it really does reflect what the Lord shares in the Bible. And sometimes I think to myself, I think we have just gone to the next level of crazy with some of the things that I'm seeing and hearing. Anyway, my topic as part of the summit was breaking through spiritual strongholds that will keep you stuck from living out your kingdom purpose. And I'm sure that you would agree that with things being said and shared in the world today, they are in total contrast with what the Lord has said, what the Lord has created, and what He's instructed us to do. And so in my session, one of the Bible verses that I refer to in that session was Romans 12:22, where we're told, we're instructed, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approach what's God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, without any further ado, on to the session. So welcome to this particular session all about breaking through strongholds that will keep you stuck from living your kingdom purpose. So who am I if we have not already met? Well, my name is Anne-Marie Cross and I am a personal branding, a business and a podcast strategist. And I love working with coaches and consultants who feel like the world's best kept secret, helping them go from invisible to influential, trusted authority with an uncopyable, unique message and brand and podcast, particularly a podcast that has a robust strategy, enabling them to nurture listeners into leads from their very first episode. So it's about helping you clarify that unique and uncopyable message, bringing it out into the world with a podcast so that you can become the choice versus just a choice with your ideal client. All right, why did I choose this particular topic? Well, I think this particular topic is as important as all of the other topics put together. All of these integrate really well. And if we're not aware of what strongholds are, how they can show up in their lives, what we can do to stop those strongholds from even developing, we can continue to live oppressed, if you will, and not recognizing the true power and authority that the Lord has placed us to speak into in our particular area of expertise, our mountain, and so that you can't live out that kingdom purpose. So I'm going to share a lot of Bible verses as well, because the things that I'm going to share with you are not just things that I've experienced in my own life and I've observed in others as well. It's written in God's word, the Bible. So the verses that I'm going to share, just like all of the other verses that the other speakers have shared during our summit today, are instructions from the Lord to warn us, to guide us, to help us, and to strengthen us. So what is a stronghold? Well, in the Bible, a stronghold is mentioned in Psalm 9, verse 9, where the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. So the Lord for us can be a stronghold, that rock. That's a good thing. But then we also have spiritual strongholds, which 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 4 says this: though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, and in brackets in the NASB version is strongholds. So we're talking about the natural world. Yeah, we have bodies, but the weapons of our warfare, and we don't warfare against flesh things and use weapons that the world has, but rather spiritual warfare tools. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know, what are these warfare tools? What can I do to protect myself from becoming oppressed from these spiritual strongholds? I'm going to share a little bit more about that later on in today's presentation. But first, I want to look at who is causing these spiritual strongholds. And we turn to Ephesians 6, verse 12 to identify who it is that's causing these spiritual strongholds. And Ephesians 6, 12 says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not against man, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's Satan. That's Satan and his minions of angels who were cast out of the kingdom of God. They were cast out of heaven because, you know, Satan was jealous of God. He was prideful and all of the things. And so that's who we are fighting against, not men and women in this world, but rather the rulers, the authorities, the principalities, the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So what do these powers and principalities, these evil rulers, what is their overall goal? What do they want to do in our lives and everyone else's life? Well, we turn to John 10:10 to share a little bit more about this. The thief, this is what Jesus is saying, and he refers to Satan, the powers and principalities, as the thief. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. This is Jesus talking, I have come that they may have life and live it to the full. Jesus has come so that you can live your life and live it to the full. And the powers and principalities, the enemy, Satan, he does not want you to have life and to live it in, you know, full. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy, and he will do anything and everything in his power to do so. But guess what? We only give the power over to him if we're not mindful and if we're not using the spiritual warfare tools that the Lord has told us we can be using, so that we do not open the door for him to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. So what often happens then is, through my own experiences and observation of others where the enemy has come to try to steal, kill, and destroy, we look at one part of the way that he does that, Satan does that, is to keep you stuck or to keep you blinded from knowing who you are in Christ, the identity that you have in Christ, along with the power and authority in and through Christ. And that is through oppression. If Satan can keep you oppressed, he will continue to do that. Even in the church, even in the body of Christ, can unknowingly be oppressed through the spirit of religion and legalism can often keep us stuck too. And remember in Psalm 9:9, we're reminded that the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And there are things that we can do. There are verses in the Bible that tell us what we need to do to be able to cast off this oppression, to break free from this oppression. So if Satan can keep us stuck and oppressed, he's happy. He's happy. He's done his job. He will just keep you there so that you're not able to walk fully in the gifts and talents and strengths and make an impact, you know, for your full potential in the kingdom of God. He'll keep you stuck. Now, then what will often happen as tactic is that if you do start to realize the power and authority that you do have, the MO of the enemy goes kind of in the opposite direction. Then what he does is he tries to puff you up. And, you know, if he can't keep you stuck, then he'll go the opposite direction and try and puff you up, if you will. And this is what it can look like. We're told to be humble, aren't we? Humility will then become pride. Look what I've done. Aren't I wonderful? Oh, you're so wonderful. Aren't you so marvelous? So we need to be watching out for that. Compassion. Jesus was so compassionate. That's what drove him to heal people. He was compassionate. The illness and the sickness and the bondage and the oppression that was going through, you know, people of the day. And, you know, cause compassion in the Lord's heart. We need to be compassionate for others as well, just like Christ was. And so compassion can become hard-heartedness. Have our hearts become cold? Christ-centeredness becomes self-centeredness. We take Christ and God right out of everything, and everything is self, self, self. Me, 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 me. We just need to be mindful that we don't go to that extreme, and the enemy, you know, creates a stronghold there. Glorifying the Father to his glory becomes glorifying ourselves, glorifying others through man. What have we made an idol? What have we made an idol that we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry, that's become an idol for me. I need to put my attention back on you, glorifying the Father. What about this one? Trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts, leaning not on our own understanding, but what we do instead is we trust in the ways of the world. We have let the secular override biblical principles. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. He is the same as he was thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, thousands of years ago, what he is now and what he will be in the future. Have we taken some of the words of the Lord and twisted it to our own advantage? Oh, you know, we need to be a little bit more open-minded. Really? Is that what the Lord has said? Some of the principles and the spiritual laws of the kingdom of heaven do not change. Are we changing some of those to suit ourselves so that we can be liked, so that, you know, we're acceptable for the world? Well, I tell you what, we will be accountable before the throne of God in doing that. So we need to go back. What are the spiritual things that the Lord has told us about? What are the things that in his kingdom that are truth? And you get the picture. There's so many different things that we need to be mindful of, that we don't continue to create a foothold by our enemy that can become a stronghold. So we've looked at those things. Be mindful of what's going on in your life. Let's have a look then. Okay, how do we break a stronghold? Anne-Marie, I can see that there's something going on in my life. Or in the same token, what do I need to be aware of so that I don't cause a foothold that can become a stronghold? And remember, 1 Peter 5 verse 8 reminds us, there's so many words in the Bible and passages that we need to be reminding ourselves, speaking over ourselves, because the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So important. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So what do we need to do so that we don't leave ourselves open, the foothold that the adversary, our, you know, the powers and the principalities, as they're prowling around like a roaring lion, that we don't leave ourselves open? I want to share three different things for us to be aware of, and I'm sure you've heard this before. Number one, repent, repent, repent. I could probably say that many more times with the power of three. The reason why the Lord has told us to repent, I mean, originally when you came to Christ, that is one of the things that we need to do, don't we? Repent from our sin, turn away from our sins, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is so important. And once we have been forgiven and we've accepted the Lord as our Savior, our sins are forgotten. Let me just repeat that with some Bible verses. Our sins are forgiven and they are forgotten. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So a couple of things I want to pick up here. Number one, even though we are forgiven, our sins are from the east to the west. That is how far they have been removed and, you know, forgotten. It's important that we realize that as the Lord's children, there are things that we stuff up on. You know, we do things, we think, oh, stuffed up again. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I stuffed up again. I'm sorry. Forgive me for doing that. That then is forgiven. But if we don't ask the Lord to forgive that, then it creates a foothold where the enemy can come in there and start to fester, start to manifest, guilt and shame. And then we go to the opposite extreme where that guilt and shame is where often the enemy will then try and keep us stuck. So there's often two MOs. There's one that we don't go and ask the Lord. Yes, it's forgiven and forgotten. But not until we just say to him, Lord, forgive me. And then we're forgiven. And if the enemy can't stop us there from asking for forgiveness, then he'll try and add a secondary layer of emotion, the shame, the guilt, telling you how worthless a person you are. No, you are not. You are forgiven. And through that forgiveness and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a new person in Christ. And it says in the Bible, I'm a new creation in Christ. We are seated in the heavenly realms. We are sons and daughters of the living King. I mean, wow, just wow. So don't let the enemy who's prowling around try and get in your ear to tell you how worthless you are. The only worthless thing is the person whose mouth this is coming out of, Satan and his minions, not you. You are precious in the sight of the living God. So repent, ask for forgiveness. Yes, we do consistently stuff up, but that's why Jesus died on the cross. He's forgiven us. We are made new in Christ. And when things happen, we just need to go back to him and say, Lord, sorry. And then dive into the word and continue to develop your relationship with him. Let's talk about point number two. Throughout this summit, others have also spoken about the importance of this thing. And this is mind your mind, guard your heart. Mind your mind, guard your heart. In Mark 7:14-23, gives us a picture of what can defile a person. And just providing a little bit of context, this is where people were talking to Jesus. And at that day, you know, context is really important too. Back in that day, there were certain things that the Jews, the Israelites, were not allowed to eat because it was considered as impure. And anyone who ate this would defile themselves. But of course, now in the old covenant, the new covenant, which is the New Testament, after Jesus died on the cross, a lot of the things that was being done in the Old Testament no longer is applicable in the New Testament, because guess what? Jesus has died. Sins are forgiven. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. You know, it's a salvation. It's a gift through Jesus' death on the cross. And so here was this discussion that was going on there, where people were asking them, look, these people are starting to eat this food. This is going to defile them. And here's what Jesus said. Hear me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And then he said, people were still not understanding. His disciples asked him about that parable later. And he said, do you not see, this is what he said to the disciples, do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled? So in other words, what goes into your stomach and is expelled is not what's going to defile you, but what goes into a person's heart. And at that stage, Jesus declared that all foods are clean. And here's what else he said. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. And then he goes to list them: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. They defile a person. So we need to mind our minds, guard our hearts. What's coming out of our hearts? What are we letting? What are we feeding our minds with that is informing our hearts that could potentially defile us? Here are some Bible verses that we can read over ourselves, some promises. Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." When we trust in the Lord fully, when we believe his word to be the true and living word of God, which it is, by the way, the Bible, we will be kept in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast. I don't know about you, but I want to have a steadfast mind because I trust in God. Amen. Colossians 3, verses 2, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Let's not be distracted by what's going on. The things of this world will pass by, but the things that are, you know, of heavenly things, they will last an eternity." Amen. Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God. Jesus is peace. So that then leads me to number three, a tactic of breaking through any strongholds and not allowing even a foothold near us to become a stronghold. This is putting on the full armor of God. I'm talking about spiritual warfare here. We can combat the enemy with, you know, prayer and praise, very important, worship of the Lord, glorifying the Lord. Are we putting on our full armor? Not just some of the pieces of the armor. I'm talking about the whole schmozzle. Put it on the full armor. Ephesians 6, 11. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand or stand against the schemes of the devil." And James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee." So important. I want to talk about each of the pieces and then how it can relate to us. So let's talk about the armor. There's a belt of truth, and go and have a read of Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Dive into it, read it, understand it, dwell on it, meditate on it. It's important. Belt of truth around your waist. This is God's truth, not the perception of truth that the world is saying or the twisted truth. God's truth. How can we find out what God's truth is? Let's see, he's written it down in words in the Bible. Go back to the Bible, which, by the way, the word of God is also referred to as part of this, the armor of God, as the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon that we can yield, and it sits on the belt of truth. Those two go together. The breastplate of righteousness, have that in place. It covers the heart. And we're talking about the righteousness of God. A little bit of theology again here. When we talk about righteousness, this is the quality of being right in the eyes of God. Our character, our attitudes, the actions, our words, all of those things. And we know that before Christ's death on the cross and his paying the ultimate sacrifice, his life for ours, we cannot be right in the eyes of the Lord because we're born as in a sinful nature. This is just the law, the spiritual law of the kingdom of God, right? But then the righteousness of God in the New Testament, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, the purpose of the law is, remember, this: the law of sin is death. The law of sin is death. That is just what happens in the kingdom of God. But Jesus died. So he paid that price of death for us so that we may live and have life more fully, to abundance, with the Lord. So it is paid for. We are right in the eyes of God, the righteousness of God, because of what Christ did, which is why it's so important to ask the Lord to be our Savior, to forgive us for our sins so that we can be made right in the eyes of the Lord. So that is the righteousness of God, the breastplate of righteousness. It's nothing that we can do. Jesus has done it. What we do, our part in this, what we need to do is just to accept Jesus, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that today so that the promises and the protection, the steadfastness that I've spoken about can be yours. It is yours. All you need to do is ask for it and accept it. All right. The next piece of armor is your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So what can throw off your peace? Focusing on what's going on in the world. The enemy who is out there prowling, if he can throw in a bit of fear here and anxiousness and worry and anxiety and continue to manifest that in your life, you are then going to be able to be swayed by what is going on in the world. So we need to remember that the peace of God, God is in control. Read the words of the Bible and that talk about peace, that talk about comfort, that talk about the steadfastness. Everything is under God's control. His plans, his ways can never be thwarted by the devil. Even though, you know, when we look out, we may say, Lord, what are you doing? The battle is being won, has already been won, but there's things that are falling into place. God's got control. And so we don't need to worry about what's going on. We can have full comfort and knowing that all is well. All is well. And it is. And okay, let's talk about the next piece of armor, the shield of faith. What does the shield of faith do? It can help you extinguish the flames, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith is the assurance that the things revealed and promised in the Word of God are true, because they are, even though unseen, and gives the believer a conviction that what he expects in faith will come to pass, because it will. That is what faith is, that the things revealed and promised in the Word of God are true. And even though we may not see things that have been said in the Bible, we just have that faith and understanding, the conviction. We know that we know that we know these things will happen. So when the enemy tries to throw a dart at you, things such as, did God really say that? Are you really this and that? We can just then put up a shield of faith and extinguish those flaming arrows of the evil one. The helmet of salvation is that we really understand what is good and true. Salvation is the deliverance from the power and effects of sin, again, through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5. So important, which then leads me to the sword of the Spirit, which I've already said is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirits, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is how powerful it was. How powerful is the Word of God? Well, it's as powerful as when Jesus used the Word of God every single time he was tempted by Satan. The same person who prowls and tries to devour us tried to do that when Jesus walked the earth too, for Jesus. And you know, each time Jesus answered, let me just share here. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The devourer lurking around tried to ask him another question. Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. A third time, Satan came to Jesus, tried to tempt him. And Jesus said, and we want to role model Jesus so we can do exactly what Jesus has done, because he's role modeled for us. He said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Well, I don't know about you, but if Jesus has said, it is written, and turns to the Word of the God, which we know is the sword of the Spirit that we can yield as part of the armor, the full armor of God, then I would say that that's a pretty good thing that we can do too in our spiritual warfare. Submit yourselves before God, therefore to God, resist the devil. He will flee from you too. James 4:7, repeating that. Put on the full armor of God, seek the kingdom of God, get into the Word, have these verses that you can wield. So when the enemy pops up its head, pshoom, you can chop that off. find the verses. And so when you get tempted, just like Jesus, you can respond to with the living word of God, the word of God that does not come back void, the word of God that is the sword of the Spirit. Armor yourself with the sword, the word of God. So what next? When we're bringing this all around in the light of what we're talking about today, so that you can be the difference with your message, you can bring hope, possibilities, bring light and truth with love into your sphere of influence, in your mountain where the Lord has placed you. Don't let the enemy continue to deceive you, keep you stuck with doubt, discouragement, disappointment, envy and comparison about what others are doing. You've got an identity. Find out what that is for you. Do not let doubt that your life and what you've experienced, that your testimony isn't worth being shared. The challenges that you have gone through and overcome may just be what you need to champion with your message so that others can be set free from the bondage, from oppression. Your story, your journey, where the Lord has taken you is exactly what they need to hear. So go and share it. Get clear on that. A reminder, recognize when you are being attacked. Recognize every thought that you have can be held captive into obeying Christ. Anytime Satan comes up with a thought, tell him to speak to the hand, give him a Bible verse, sword of the weapon, ask the Holy Spirit. I'll often go, Holy Spirit, would you like to handle this? Could you talk? And then, you know, often we'll be speaking in tongues, and then all of a sudden, what he said, and off you go. Resist the devil and he will flee. What Bible verses can you speak over yourself? Can you remind yourself on? Can you meditate on? So anytime the enemy tries to cause lies and doubt and discouragement, that you can meet him right there and pounce, you know, stamp on that head with some Bible verses, promises, the sword of the Spirit that will have the enemy flee. Now, for those of you also too that have a VIP ticket as part of the summit, remember to come to the masterclass that I am holding, where I'm going to help you gain a little bit more clarity around how you can put together your message. There's some activities that I'll get you to do, and we'll walk you through that will help you to understand and to identify and get more clear on, you know, the testimony that you can use to be able to make a difference, a real difference in this culture of compromise. And you know where to find me. Reach out to me if you have, if you've got still some confusion and some doubt around your message and getting it out in a much bigger way. Connect with me or send me an email, info@annemariecross.com, and let's set up a time to chat. Now, if you liked this session from the Be the Difference Summit and you want to get access to all of the speakers' session, which included Melody Dolan, who talked about your kingdom identity. Karen Kuljak talked about you, a new creation in Christ, and what that means. Carolyn Mendez shared 8 challenges that were facing women living out their calling and what to do about it. Renette Holmseth talked about kingdom collaboration for supernatural outcome. Fidelis Cruz talked about discover your purpose and calling. Lauralee Colley, understanding the blessing, practical keys for blessings to flow in fullness. Cherie Toledo talked about living and working from rest, fulfilling the call of the kingdom. Karen Crowell talked about redesign and live a life you love, even after a dramatic or traumatic life-changing event. Mamika Cooney talked about renewing of your mind daily, how and why this is crucial. Tiffany Yeki Brooks talked about what to do when your prayers remain unanswered. And lastly, Carl van der Paal talked about the power of forgiveness and walking in true authority and power. Now, including all of those sessions, including mine, you also get access to that. There was a take action guide where you could take notes. There were Bible verses that each of our speakers referred to, because as we know, the word of the Lord is the sword of the Spirit and so important. There were warfare declarations, and I've included those in PDF as well as in audio format. So I've read them out. I've recorded them. with some awesome music track behind that to really bring home some warfare declarations, which are directly from the word of the Lord. And so you will get access to that. You will get access to the masterclass that I did as a special bonus for everyone who attended as a VIP. And that's the recording. And you get access to the recording of that masterclass, which was identifying and clarifying your purpose. And included in that, you get access to my brand archetypes assessment and e-cards as well. This is a system that I'm licensed to use, and I use this with all of my clients in all of my programs, whether they're my group coaching programs or my private VIP. You get access to these assessments and these cards to help you start to clarify, what is my purpose? What is my calling? Where can I use my gifts, talents, strengths, and the journey that I have walked to further God's kingdom, to bring him glory, to lift up the name of Jesus? And so this masterclass recording will be able to help you. So if you want to get access to all of that for just $47, go to www.industrythoughtleaderacademy.com/BTD Summit. Have an awesome week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.